And we had a great time together. But family is important at this time of the year. We make memories with families, don't we? Many of us can think back to Christmas past, when families got together and we celebrated in a certain way or had certain traditions that you have. And we were thinking about what our traditions were just the other day, trying to come up with what they were. And there actually is my mom's sugar cookies that I figured out is something that she passed down to my family that Cheryl continues to make today. And it seems like it's not Christmas if we don't have those sugar cookies. And maybe there's a tradition that you have or a memory that you cherish. Or maybe it's just you cherish the fact of that you feel love because of the family that is around you at this time of the year because you feel close. It's a time that we truly can be thankful. Thankful for family and for the love that we feel. That's what makes Christmas really special, isn't it? Christmas time is about family. And there's something that is really special about God as well. We need to understand that. And really what is so special about God is this idea of time. Time is something that is special with God. As God is eternal, there's no beginning or no end to God. We know that that's the case. That 1,000 years is like, well, a day is like 1,000 years to God, right? I mean, it's just God is not really captured in time. It doesn't hold him back like it does us at times. And it's hard for us to understand as humans how time is so different for God and he is not bound by time like you and I. We can look at the past and the present and the future, but not the same way that God does. I mean, he can look at the past, the present, and the future all at once because he created everything, including time. And because of that, God knows perfect timing for everything. Perfect timing for everything in this world. And there's no greater example that we have of the perfect timing of God than with his Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul reminds us in our text that we just read just a second ago from Galatians chapter 4 that this is a fact. In fact, it starts off by saying, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Now, what this really is saying is that when time had fully come, when time was just right, when it was absolutely perfect timing, what did God do? He sent his Son, Jesus, into this world. That Jesus was born at a time when Rome was in control of most of the entire world. Rome, they were very structured in how they did things. They were also very smart also. And the Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, he wanted to know exactly how many people and how vast his kingdom actually was. And so what did he do? Well, he wanted to know how many people he could tax, so he actually did this, as we read in Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. This meant that a man named Joseph and his wife-to-be had to leave where they were, and they had to go to their hometown of Bethlehem to be registered. Jesus was born just as was prophesied. This all happened just in the perfect timing, that Micah had prophesied this 700 years earlier. And also, that Jesus would be born to a virgin, prophesied again by Isaiah 700 years earlier. See, this was no coincidence. This was God's perfect timing. See, these same Romans were also very strict with their laws and their rules as well. I mean, they had a form of capital punishment that was just miserable, the crucifixion. This was prophesied as well. I mean, here was baby Jesus born, but he was going to go to death. Just as Isaiah prophesied 700 years earlier, and David also prophesied 1,000 years earlier, this was no coincidence. This was perfect timing by God. And later on, when Christ was being persecuted by the Romans, well, they were actually able to flee to all corners of the earth, the disciples were. They were able to do so on the very roads that Rome had created for the business that they were doing at that time. They fled and shared the good news of Jesus everywhere throughout the world. And they were able to do that because the roads had been built and had been used for the marketplace for some time. But also because the Greek language was known by so many people throughout the world, they were able to share the gospel message with so many people at that time that the message grew and grew and grew and spread and spread. It's an amazing thing that all these things came together at the right time. And it's not by any coincidence. God controls all time. And he knew exactly the precise time for Christ to enter into this world. And what a wise and powerful God we have that he did this at the perfect time. And that's why actually, Paul actually says this. But when the fullness of time had come, when things were just right, when things were perfect timing, God sent his son, born of a woman. It is God's perfect timing. And is no coincidence for us. But the important thing we need to also see is the reason that he came. See, he was born for two important reasons. And the first, Paul says, was this, that he was born under the law. See, God's laws are things that he demands. Things like, you shall have no other gods, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder. I mean, those are things that God has commanded to us all. And the law is a summary of all the things that God says that we are to do and also the things that we are forbidden to do. And he's very clear about that. A few years ago, I remember as I was preparing for a message, I ran across an app that is no longer available. An app for the phone, it was called Santa Counter. And it was this interesting app that actually parents could use to try to improve the behavior of their kids. And what they could actually do is when the child did something bad, you could tap something red on the phone and it would keep track of the bad things. And then when they did something good, you tap green and it would take something green and it would count the good things they did. Now you can understand why that app isn't around any longer. But it actually was a way that they actually counted when someone was naughty and when they were nice. Sort of this great idea that we have at Christmas, right? But somehow it just doesn't seem right. I mean, even though we're talking about naughty and nice, imagine if God actually had a counter like that for us. Imagine if God had some software that he could hold on to that would keep track of the times when we did something against his laws. When we did something that was naughty. Or even when we did something that was nice. If God actually tracked this on his iPhone, you might say, right? I mean, it's a good thing that God doesn't do that. Because I don't know about you, but he'd be pressing that naughty button an awful lot. I mean, but really, I mean, we don't need an app to tell us this, do we? I mean, I've done plenty of bad things in my life, things that I probably don't ever want any of you to know about. And if we're honest about it, we all could say the same thing, that we've done things in our lives that we're not happy about. Or maybe we haven't done things that we should have done. Like maybe I was too lazy at times, or I was too scared, or I just didn't really care. I mean, all of these things mean that we've broken God's laws. I've broken God's laws many times, I know. And you have too. And this truly means that we are sinners. That we need God's forgiveness. But this is exactly why God came into this world. Why Jesus was sent when he was. He came to be born under the law. He came to be subject to all the same demands, all the same commandments, and everything that you and I have been put under as well. The difference is that Jesus is God, right? I mean, remember that. Jesus is perfect God. And he came to do it perfectly, something that you and I can't do. He came to live under the law and to fulfill every commandment and to obey every commandment perfectly, because you and I have no way of doing that. He came to live a perfect life in our place. And that's the first part of why Jesus came. He came actually for the purpose of our salvation, to live a perfect life that you and I can't do. Remember what it says. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." See, Jesus was born under the law for you and I, living that perfect life that you and I can't live. But the next statement is also something we need to understand too. It goes on and says this. If you look at your scripture, it says, "God sent his Son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law." What glorious words those are for us. That the second part of why Jesus came was for our salvation. It is for redemption, to redeem us. Jesus lived a perfect life for us that God demands, but sin still needed to be paid for somehow. Sin still needed to be made right somehow. If we have a just God, something has to be done with sin. He can't just be wiped out. And so what we hear in Scripture is this, that the wages of sin is death, and that the soul who sins is the one who will die. And God says all of these things to us, and that there is a price to pay and a punishment for disobeying a righteous God. And Scripture is clear that that is death and that is hell. See, if you do naughty things, you commit sins. You don't just press a red button and get a flashing red light that says that you're naughty. You don't lose out on maybe Christmas presents that you deserve or feel like you deserve. The reality is that if you sin and disobey God, the punishment is sin and eternal hell. This is where redemption comes in. Jesus gave his life so that he could be our substitute. Jesus gave his life so that he could carry the guilt of our sin upon himself. He suffered the fury of sin. He died on the cross for you and I. That's the God that demands it of us, but he took it upon himself. He took all the sin of the world, the sin of you and me, he put it on himself so that he must die, so that our sins could be paid for. So that is what Jesus did. He came into the world to live that perfect life, yes. He lived that perfect life, but still, at the time of his death, he took everything upon himself, all the sins of the world, for you and for me. He took the punishment that you and I deserve, and he shed his blood to pay for the sins of us. And therefore, he redeemed us. And so it says this then, too. That what is really remarkable and incredible and unfathomable is the love that God has for us. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. At just the right time, all this happened. God sent Jesus into the world at the perfect time to save us through his perfect life, his suffering, and his death in our place. And the result of all of that is mind-boggling to me. As Paul says, the result is that we are received with the full rights of sons, sons and daughters of God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the result of the redemption through Jesus Christ is that we have been adopted into God's own family. He considers us to be his own dearly loved sons and daughters. He continues and says that because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." That God, the Holy Spirit, has worked in our hearts to create faith in Jesus. And because of the faith in Jesus, through that faith, we have been adopted as children of God. We have been given all the privileges of being called children of God as well. And we call our God Abba and Father. This was Aramaic, which is a term of endearment for a father. This was only used in a close, loving relationship with someone. When they called them Father, when they called them Abba, it was something that was so intimate and so close. It was only used by those who were closest and felt this love connection to one another. And here we are said that we now can look to the Father in heaven and use this term of endearment of Abba, Father, calling him because we are his children. And we can call out to him anytime we need help. See, the amazing thing is everyone who is a father here knows the passion that most fathers have for their children. I mean, a father will almost do anything for their child. Father will defend them, will protect them, provide for them, and give their life for them as well. I mean, how much more hasn't our Father in heaven done for us? He defends us, he guides us, he protects us, and he provides all that we need. He even sent his one and only Son to give his life for you and for me. I mean, this gives new and special meaning, I think, to praying. That when we pray, Father, who art in heaven, this is a term of endearment, a term of love. And the amazing thing that we can see is that even better than this, the special privilege that comes with being God's own dear children is something that is great. This privilege that comes with being a child of God is something that is so important for us to hear. And it goes on in Galatians chapter 7, we see this. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then what? An heir through God. See, even better than the privilege that comes with being God's own dear children, Paul tells us this, that we used to be slaves. We used to be slaves to sin, bound to sin, chained to the wrongs that we have done, chained to the things that have happened in our lives, chained to the effects of sin, and destined for hell. But having been redeemed through Christ, we are no longer slaves at all. We are his children, it says. And as his children, we now have become heirs. Heirs of the kingdom of God. And heirs, what do they always receive? They receive a gift. They don't do anything for that special gift. It was something that was truly just willed to them, given to them. When a person dies, that gift is transferred to the inheritor. And when Jesus died, the gift of forgiveness was willed to us. The gift of new spiritual life was given to us. The gift of eternal life in heaven was given to us, and it became our inheritance that we receive only because of what Jesus has done and nothing because of what we have done. We have done nothing special to deserve this at all. There is nothing that we did to get this. It was truly a free gift that was given to us because of Jesus and what he has done for us. And that is why Jesus came into this world. He came to provide that for you and for me and for all those who believe in Jesus in this world. See, you and I, we love Christmas time, right? We love it because of families. We love to spend time with those that we love, and we enjoy the company together of families. But you know what? I think God had a different idea of family than this. I think this is what God had the idea of. The church is not something that you go to. It's a family that you belong to. And that when God talks about us being the family of God, that we have been inherited, that we are now children of God, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, he's not talking about the nuclear family. He's talking about this family that is gathered here this morning. He's talking about all the believers in this world. He's talking about all of us being a family of God. And this is the family that should be making memories at Christmas. this is the family that should be gathered together, celebrating what Jesus has done for us. It shouldn't just be us isolating ourselves in our own nuclear families. It should be us coming together and celebrating all that God has done and creating memories together here. See, this is what Christmas time is all about. This family of God that gathers together, not just today, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the whole year, as we live our lives together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we celebrate Christmas, and we say still today, Merry Christmas. And we continue to celebrate this for a couple weeks to come, and to realize that we are more than just churchgoers, that we are a family, and that we belong together. And we should celebrate Christmas and make memories together, because we are heirs to the kingdom of God, and we will be together for all eternity. Praise God, right? So let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, we just thank you for this time together. And Lord, it's amazing that we can come together and worship you. But Lord, more than anything, we are just amazed that you call us children. That, Lord, we are able to call each other brother and sister in Christ, all because of what you have done, Jesus. And so today, we just say thank you. Thank you that you loved us so much, Father, that you sent your Son into this world to live that perfect life that we can't live. That, Lord, you sent Jesus to redeem us, Lord, and to earn salvation for us because, Lord, we know there's nothing we can do. And that, Lord, through his death, we have just been given the gift of forgiveness. And so, Lord, we say thank you. And, Lord, we look forward to that gift that you will give us. Lord, when either Jesus returns or you call us home, when we will be in eternity with you, Lord, what a tremendous gift that will be. And what a tremendous day that will be. And so, Lord, we say thank you that you have done all of this out of your love for each one of us. And that, Lord, as I've said before, it's not that you did this for all of us. You did this even if it was just for me, or if it was just for one of us. You would have still done this, Lord, because you love each one of us that much. And so, Lord, let us fill our hearts and minds today. Let us be filled with love, the love that you have shown to us through Jesus. And let that love pour outside of us and over to those all around us into this family of believers that is here so that, Lord, we can truly feel the family that is connected here because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Lord, we say thank you with hearts of gratitude for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and what you will do in the future as well. We pray this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.